All right, joining us now is Gerald Celente of Trends Journal, trendsjournal.com. Great publication, weekly publication, massive amount of information. It's put up in an online magazine format. Go there, take a look at it. Always has great covers, great coverage as well. And you can save 10% off with the code KNIGHT, K-N-I-G-H-T. But joining us now is Gerald. And Gerald, we're just saying this brief time that we had, how spot on you have been with all the predictions, whether it's been financial, and unfortunately, it looks like the war stuff as well. I hope you're wrong about that war thing, but certainly you've already been proven right in terms of financial things, gold and commercial real estate, way, way, way ahead of the curve on all the rest of the people.
Yeah, one of our top trends for 2024, January 2nd, a golden year for gold.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, it's
we
turned.
We gave the details. And now, as we're speaking, gold is what? About 3,200 and, you know, $25 or something like that?
Yeah,
2,325.
2,200. Headed to 3. 2,300. I'm thinking, did I miss that this morning? Did it jump
50%? Yeah. Yeah. I always get the number. I've never been good at numbers.
Oh, that's fine. But you're good at trends. And you knew that was coming. And you told us why it was coming. You know, election year, they're going to, they'll come up with any kind of flimsy excuse or maybe no excuse at all. They'll just they play these games. And so this last week, we've seen pretty much everything except gold and then, of course, oil. I thought this was interesting. This was this is the headline, Gerald, on the Drudge Report. I took a screenshot of it. I'll pull it up here. I know you can't see it. Drudge Report. CIA warns Iran attack within 48 hours, Palestinian intifada drills, war cabinet meets, embassies evacuated, and then it says oil flashes $90. And then underneath that, it says, is Saudi Arabia trying to sabotage Biden? Is Biden trying to sabotage the world with World War III? I mean, what, you know, if you're going to escalate or a Middle East conflict, of course oil is going to go up. But other than oil, gold has really been the star so far in the last couple of weeks.
Go back to your Trends Journal. We've been warning about oil prices, Brent crude going up now for what, a year? Again, there's one after another, week after week, we've been saying this, that you're going to see, you go back several months ago, a couple of months ago, you had Brent crude selling for what? $73 a barrel. Mm-hmm. Now we're about $91 a barrel. Mm-hmm. And this is just the beginning because Israel is going, I love what they say, that murderer, that genocidal murderer Netanyahu, Iran better not attack us because they'll pay the price. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's okay for you to kill as many Iranians as you want.
Yeah.
You could bomb and kill anybody anywhere you want, but how dare you fight back?
Yeah.
We're the chosen people and we chose to kill you. So you can't fight back.
Yeah.
They're going to retaliate. They're going to retaliate. You're going to see oil prices. If oil prices go, our warning, if Brent crude hits $130 a barrel, you're going to see the economy crash and the equity markets crash. Because this whole thing has been artificially propped up. People forget, again, tracking trends is the understanding of where we are, how we got here to see where we're going. Go back to 2019. Oh. You mean Germany was on the brink of a recession before this happened? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, you forgot about all those repos going on and how they were pumping, the Federal Reserve was pumping in all that money into the markets because they needed the dough because it was going down so bad? Oh, mm-hmm. You forgot about that. Huh? Mm-hmm. Then the COVID comes. Yeah, just keep pumping trillions of dollars into the economy, bring interest rates down to zero, artificially prop up this thing to keep the scam going.
Yeah.
People forgot all about this. So here we are now. Israel is going to ramp up this war. It is only going to escalate. Back when I was a young man, and maybe you're too young to remember, but I don't know. Once upon a time, there was a war going on in Israel back in 1973. And what did the Arab nations do? They put an embargo on the oil. Oil prices skyrocketed. Yes. Inflation went through the roof. I remember as a guy waiting on lines to get gasoline for your car, like an hour. If they put an embargo on the oil, it's over. It's over. And again, we've been warning that, forecasting actually, that Ukraine is going to ramp up the war against Russia as they're losing. And now it's more bombs away and into the 15% of Russian oil and gas has been closed down because of the bombings on Russian oil fields and gas lines by the Ukrainians.
And refineries and things like that. Yeah.
Refineries.
Yeah.
And Israel bombing Iranian oil pipelines and refineries.
That's right.
So they're going to, this is, we are, you know, you said, I hope I'm wrong about the war. The war's in front of everybody's eyes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But, you know, and I have to tell you, I think this is going to be the last time I'm on your show because you've been very disrespectful in not talking about Taylor Swift. All right, let's really be stupid. Let's be a common American jerk. We don't know anything that's going on. We know, did Taylor Swift get laid last night? You know, does her husband, you know, that's the mentality. The people have no clue of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And let me ask you, of course, I do remember the Arab embargo, and I remember the inflation that that came after that. I remember our first home was a 13% fixed mortgage, things like that. I mean, crazy stuff that happened. And of course, gold went through the ceiling. Now, that was an embargo of the U.S. primarily because they were angry at the United States, but it had global repercussions for everything. This could be different because rather than it just being an embargo, you know, they could destroy capacity, which you can't just undo that the next day, right? If you blow up refineries and oil fields and all the rest of this stuff, once you change your mind and say, okay, we're ready to stop, you can't just stop it right then. And so this could be even worse than an embargo, I think. What happens to gold in this type of scenario with oil going up and the economy going down? Of course, I mean, you know, and what do they do with the interest rates to try to compensate for this? Because they're going to want in the next few months to make the economy look good. After that, Biden is, if he's the president, he's more than content to let America rot and go down the tubes. But he wants it to look good coming in the next few months. So if oil keeps going up and more unrest happens and there's more destruction there, what does he do to the economy?
When all else fails, they take you to war.
Yeah.
We're going to go to war before the elections. That's my forecast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, and these are just some of the articles out just in the last couple of days. Here we go. Let's see.
Well, CIA has been warning that Iran is going to counterattack within 48 hours. And of course, you know,
they're so brilliant. They know everything.
I know. Yeah. I know. That's Russia what you see all NATO, over the media. Yeah.
Russia and NATO already in direct confrontation, Kremlin.
Yeah.
This came out yesterday. They go on to say that the bloc itself is already involved in the Ukraine conflict. NATO continues to move toward our borders, expanding its military infrastructure toward our borders. In fact, our relationships have now descended to the level of direct confrontation. All right?
Wow.
That's coming from Russia. That's from Russia's Kremlin spokesman. NATO continues to fulfill its purpose, which currently, however, in no way contributes to security. Predictably and stability on the continent, but on the contrary, it is a destabilizing factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from them. Then you got another one. NATO summit in Brussels prepares massive escalation of war on Russia. Quote, Europe now faces war on a scale we thought was resigned to history.
Wow.
That's shooting out of the mouth of an arrogant little boy, that's Stoltenberg. Yeah, the guy that's the NATO security general, an arrogant little SOB. He goes on that NATO must stand firm on our support for Ukraine. Our allies continue to make major deliveries of weapons, ammunition, and equipment. Any delay in providing support has consequences on the battlefield as we speak. Ukraine will become a member of NATO. It is a question of when, not if.
That's Stoltenberg.
Then he goes on to say,
that's Stoltenberg at NATO? That's Stoltenberg that said it'll become a member of NATO?
Yeah, Ukraine will become a member of NATO. It is not a question of when, not if. It's a question of when, not if. You ready?
Yeah.
This is from this fat mouth's mouth. Quote, we know that our security is not regional, it's global. Wait a minute. What's going on between Russia and Ukraine is not global and it is not regional. This has been going on since Catherine the Great.
Yeah, that's right.
They are ramping up war. NATO plans a $100 billion fund to Kyiv.
And of course, it wasn't just a NATO guy, because I saw that Blinken just said that. Said Ukraine will become a member of NATO. And so that means that, you know, that's war. If they're a member of NATO and there's conflict between them and Russia, we are by definition at war with Russia.
You got it.
Yeah.
And Ukraine drone hits targets 1,300 kilometers into Russia. You ready for this one? Polish Prime Minister Tusk warns Europe has, quote, entered pre-war era. He goes on to say, war is no longer a concept from the past. It is real. And it started over 2 years ago. The most worrying thing at this moment is that literally any scenario is impossible. We haven't seen a situation like this since 1945. I know it sounds devastating. I'm not exaggerating. If Kyiv is lost, no one in Europe will feel safe. And our job is to nurture transatlantic relations. And we will support Ukraine. And he goes on and on and on.
Wow. And I was just talking yesterday.
War has begun.
I was just talking yesterday about the Estonian defense minister. And in a sense, what he claims he was doing was trying to tamp down the saber rattling and warmongering of Macron. And he said, well, yeah, Macron says we got to send people. But it's just advisors, you know, like the Vietnam advisors. It's just advisors. And we've got military personnel from every single NATO nation already in Ukraine, he said. It's like, whoa. And so now this whole thing about bringing them into NATO, that is a signed declaration of war against Russia de facto to do that. And they're right on the verge of doing that.
Yeah. Prepare for Putin pivot to invade U.S., says Baltic states. NATO must be ready for Russian launching, quote, an existential war against the Baltic states. It's right here.
Yeah.
This is from the a diplomat from the from Estonia. Again, it's one after another. They are ramping up war. These are mentally deranged people. They're evil people. Hey. We just had Easter week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where were all the religions coming out for peace?
Yeah, that's right.
Where were they? Where they all got locked jaw?
Yeah. That's right. Well, one person that didn't have lockjaw was Lindsey Graham. He was very upset about the fact that they've now lowered the age by 2 years. I was surprised at how high the age was for them drafting people. It was at 27. They lowered it to 25, but that's not good enough for Lindsey. He said, you got to put more people on the front line. It's like, yeah, right. This guy, this paper tiger, you know, he goes into the Air Force Reserve. He never fights anything anywhere. He retires with the rank of a colonel to get a massive pension. And he's telling everybody else to go fight and die to the last Ukrainian. And he's throwing temper tantrums about the fact they're not putting enough young people on the front lines.
Again, you know,
these are the people who are going to be running, doing that to us as well. I mean, he doesn't care about Ukrainian lives, neither does Zelensky, and they don't care about American lives either.
No. And again, look at these are the clowns telling us what to do. Yeah. Lindsey Graham. And they keep quoting this slobby little jerk over and over again. Yep. Hey, Lindsey, did you come out of the closet yet?
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Lindsey.
Yeah. This is your cover of your Trends Journal back in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. The banks, the bandits are running the world. The it's a criminal organization. We people better grow up and do something. You better do anything you can in the name of peace because they are going to annihilate us some more. It goes back to what will Biden do? Look what happened here. Remember when those three people were killed, those reservists that were in on the Jordan-Syrian border a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. a month or two ago?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that was big news?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, three Americans were killed. Oh, oh.
Yeah.
Bombs away over Iraq and Syria.
Yeah, that's right.
When all else fails, they take you to war.
That's true. Yeah, Annie Jacobson, who I talked about this a little bit yesterday, she has written very interesting books in the past about DARPA, about Operation Paperclip in the beginning of this biological warfare stuff that we have here. She just put out a book about nuclear war because she sees this coming as well. She said over the years, and she's been highly embedded with all these Pentagon people, you know, for her books and everything, but she does have some interesting stuff there. She doesn't... Yeah, you know, I've not interviewed her because she is something of a limited hangout. But still, what she has to say is interesting, what is revealed there. But she says all these people that I've talked to in intelligence and the Pentagon and everything else, she says they tell her, we do what we do because we don't want to have nuclear war. Now, you and I don't believe that, but that's the idea. But she said, so she did this talking to people, what would nuclear war be like? And you know, you're talking about three people dying, journalists dying at the border. That's nothing compared to the nuclear war stuff. She says, once you launch these missiles, you can't pull them back. And it's going to be hundreds of millions of people die right away. But she said the vast majority of people that are going to die aren't going to die from the explosion as bad as that is, or from the radiation as bad as that is, but from starvation that will come after that. And yep. and that is what they have planned for us. It truly is amazing when you look at people like Lindsey Graham, how despicable they are and how lightly they hold everybody else's lives. Because people like Lindsey Graham, they're going to put him in an underground bunker and feed him whatever he wants.
Again, could you imagine being in a bunker and coming out after a nuclear war? I mean, life got screwed up after the COVID war. It ain't what it used to be.
That's right.
Who would want to live after nuclear annihilation? You read.
Yeah, the joke will be on him, right?
John F. Kennedy's speech to graduating students at American University in June of 1963. It's all about peace. He goes on to say that if we go to war against the Soviet Union, a nuclear war, life on Earth will be destroyed within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1963.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Life on Earth will be destroyed. It'll be hell on Earth.
That's right.
And they don't have a plan, as I see it. These are just maniacs.
That's
true. They're evil, evil people. By their deeds, you shall know them.
Yeah.
It's not like they have a great plan. Here's our plan. They're mentally deranged.
And I think they're self-deceived.
Freaks.
I think they're self-deceived, like these people who think that they're going to transfer their brain into a robot and live forever. You know, I really do think they've sold themselves this line of a thought, and they really think that that's going to come off to some degree. But yeah, they are sociopaths in the worst sense of it. And if they are able to avert nuclear war, what I see coming is a kind of targeted assassination using artificial intelligence and killer robots and killer drones, like we just saw in this. Well, I don't know if that was what was happening with that attack on that food convoy, but we just had released information about a targeted program. They call it Lavender. Then there's another one, Where's Daddy, where they follow somebody home and then take out the whole family. That type of targeted assassination using artificial intelligence to track and identify and then take out people, that is a kind of Terminator robot scenario that may be as bad, or if not in a different way, as a nuclear war, I think.
Yeah, again, it's whatever it's going to be, it's going to be hell on earth if we don't have peace.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, how it's going to happen, you know.
Who knows?
As I say to people, what's your favorite war? Do you like the Peloponnesian War? No, I like the Hundred-Year War. Wasn't the War of Roses lovely? I mean, stuff has been going on forever. Yeah. And it just keeps getting worse. Oh, once upon a time, they had catapults, and where they were shooting with bows and arrows. And again, it just keeps expanding. The weaponry keeps getting worse.
Yes.
The main, once upon a time, 1812, Napoleon left Poland with 420,000 troops, young men, to attack Moscow. Came back with 10,000.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm saying they are maniacs. They don't think of the consequences. The weapons that'll be used make no difference. It'll be annihilation. Oh, by the way, this could change like that. You know how?
What's that?
If the billionaires put billions of dollars toward peace.
Yeah.
Like that, it'll change. You can't win without money. That's the way of the world. Want to run for office? Oh, they just had the Biden over here in New York with Obama and Clinton. Mm-hmm. Only raised $26 million.
Yeah.
Your guy from Texas that lived down there before you moved, you remember Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
A little clown boy of nothing. He only lost the race for governor by spending $100 million.
Yeah.
Stacey Abrams, another clown over there in Georgia. $100 million to lose. The only way we're going to win is with money. Can't win without it. And we need the money for peace. Else it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
If the billionaires came out one after another, you know, one of my tenants who just left was Warren Buffett's son, the Novo Foundation. Never gave me a penny for peace. Nothing. Nothing. And he came to one of my rallies when I had Ralph Nader here. He treats me like a little guinea from the Bronx. I'm a nobody, you know. You know who my father is? Oh, you know who I am? I bought on third base and thought I had a home run. They don't give a penny for peace. You know why? They're pieces of crap. That's why.
Yeah.
And I'll call it to their face.
Yeah. Well, you look at
billionaires need to come out for peace. That's the only way it's going to change.
Yeah.
Or unless the billions of people start donating to peace.
That's right.
If we don't have peace, it's going to be hell on earth.
That's right. Yeah, you can't even get people to sign to show up for your events. You can't get people to show up in the streets. They won't even show up when they see them shutting the farms down. It's absolutely amazing. People just sit back. They're so preoccupied with entertainment and contemplating their navel. They don't pay any attention to any of this stuff. They don't speak out. They just hope it's going to go away. if they ignore it, just like all the stuff that happened with COVID. There's no consequences for any of the politicians who did any of this stuff. There's nothing that's changing. And so these people just keep going in their relentless march. Well, let's find out another way that we can lock people down. Maybe we can move this to the World Health Organization. Everything that they do, they continue to leave that in place, and nobody pushes back against it. Even when they're starving us, even when they're locking us down, stealing our cars, everything in the and life is being planned to be taken away from us, and you can't wake people up. It's amazing.
When I was a kid, my father, may rest in peace, two things. He used to tell me when I started learning a little bit and I start complaining, he says, son, take it easy. People have little minds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then I was about 17, 18 years old, and we're eating dinner, and I'm sitting over there, he's at the table. He goes, you know, son, they say that youth is wasted on the young. He took a couple more bites, and he said, they were talking about you. And I remember when this whole, you know, the millennium generation, when the kids, when the world's going, oh, the children will change it. They're so amazing. Yeah. Oh, my children, they're so special. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that, baloney? You're a kid. You don't know anything. Yeah. I'm not the same person I was. And I pulled a lot of crap in my life growing up. I used to kill environmental legislation at the height of the environmental movement back in the 1970s. You know, when I worked for the trade association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I wanted to do was make money. You start growing up and learning, and you can't stop learning. I don't know if you ever saw this picture. This is me picking up Ronald Reagan at 30 years old.
Oh, wow.
Chicago Hilton.
Wow. No, I never saw that. That's cool.
Yeah. I was the number two guy running a major trade association.
Wow. Got a beard and all that stuff. And that was back in the 80s.
Yeah. 1976. It was 2 days before he's announcing he's running against Gerald Ford.
Wow.
I put on a brunch fit, him and 16 of our board of directors, before he spoke to about a group of about 3,000 people with all the major media there. I've been with presidents, prime ministers, and princes. I've been on the other side. Wouldn't know what I know if I wasn't on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying it's a learning process, and people have to keep learning.
Mm-hmm.
And keep doing. And here's, people say, what can I do? Get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and try to do something positive in any way you can every day, and help those who need help.
That's great.
That's the only thing I could say.
Yeah, before you came on, I was just talking about a woman, 89 years old. She went to a clinic here in Tennessee. She's looking at many years in prison now because of this FACE Act, but she had been shipped to a concentration camp by the communists, she and her family. And she kept saying that, you know, if only some of the people would have stood up and done something. But she says, so I'm going to do that. She can't stand up anymore. She's in a wheelchair. But she's going to go to prison if necessary, because she's going to make a stand with this stuff. They go to this abortion clinic, stand there to stop these helpless kids from being murdered. And they sing hymns, and they cart her away. Now the feds want to put her in prison at 89 years old. She said, I've seen all this kind of stuff. And she said, if we don't stand up, it's up to each and every one of us to stand up. That's what she's learned in her life of 89 years. She's learned that she's got to take a personal stand, even at that age and being frail. And if she can do that, so can the rest of us, actually.
Yep. Now look, I'm fighting, you fight, you know, I'm fighting. I'm a warrior for the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
And this Israel war is totally disgusting. Genocidal act in front of everybody's eyes. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if the people in Gaza were Jewish and the Palestinians were doing this to the Jewish people? Oh, how terrible. It's okay. They don't count. They're only Palestinians. And I'm tired of this crap that you're the chosen people. And don't tell me that God gave you this land. I don't believe in your God. I'm not telling you to believe in mine. Don't you tell me I got to believe in yours. It's a fairy tale. You stole the land and you keep stealing it. They just stole, since the Hamas attack, almost 7,000 acres of land in the West Bank.
Yeah.
They just stole another 7,000 acres in the name of settlements.
Well, when you look at their religion, I don't think it is even their religion that they're supporting.
Because Zionist crap.
You look at Ben Shapiro, right? He goes on with Joe Rogan and he says, I don't believe any of that stuff about the parting of the Red Sea or any of that, but I want the land, that type of thing. You know, that's what it's about. Keep your Bible. You know, Moses is a liar, but I want that land that I was promised. And so we see that over and over again. The Orthodox Jews who do believe that, don't want to have anything to do with political Israel. They don't want to have anything to do with the military or this war. So there's a real amazing difference to me with the people of Israel, the people who believe the Bible or their, the Moses's. They don't want to have anything to do with this. And yet the people who cynically say, I don't believe any of that. I just want the land. I want, Jared Kushner. Hey, we got a lot of beachfront property we're going to have pretty soon. And they have them isolated, as we've seen. This is a deliberate program of starvation and keeping them there. And I mean, this is not only is it starvation in a concentration camp, but they're bombing them at the same time they're starving them. It's amazing.
Yep.
So they've overplayed their hand for a tremendous amount, and public opinion is turning against them globally, I think.
I'm telling you, what they've done to themselves, this is going to be the beginning of the end of Israel. I've read to you before the Balfour Declaration made up in 1917, brought to you by the Rothschilds, it was in the magazine, the Trends Journal. I don't know if I have a copy over here, but I got so much stuff here.
Well, you couldn't have a clear delineation, I think.
Let me read this to you quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is from the Trends Journal. 2006. Regardless of what England's reasons or intentions were, self-serving or otherwise, Crusades 2000, which we have now, was set in motion by the 1917 Balfour Declaration that laid the foundation for Israel. This is the quote. His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. And we will use our best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this objective. Hey, wait a minute. The murderers from the royal family, His Majesty, where the sun never sets on the British Empire? Who are you to say what should be going on in Palestine? Hey, Slinty, shut your mouth. It's the end of World War I. We threw the Turks out of there. We're in charge now. We slaughter people all over the world and we'll tell them what to do. And you listen to His Majesty because you're a nobody. So His Majesty declares they have no right to this land. It's stolen in front of everybody's eyes. When the United Nations, which it was a joke and still is, declared in 48, 47, that this land goes to Israel. There were the grand total of 56 United Nations countries. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. You got a bunch of clowns declaring that this land is, you're giving it to these people? Who are you to do this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they're also the ones who sowed the seeds for a perpetual conflict, even with the Arab nations. You know, you had these ancient nations of Persia, Babylon, and the Medes, and they were kind of represented by the Iraqis, the Iranians, and the Kurds. And they split that up mostly along the lines, the Persians get Iran and the Babylonians get Iraq, but then they keep the Kurds there and split them between the two. They don't give them their own separate nation, even though they've been an ethnic, separate ethnic group all the time. So that was the seeds of a lot of conflict right there. So they were doing that type of thing all throughout the Middle East. But, when we look at this, Gerald, as you point out, they're trying to push us to war, and there's no question about it, as all of these leaders bragging about the fact that they are going to, lay down this, essentially a declaration of war by bringing Ukraine into NATO. And we get the sense of what is happening with us to try to do what we can to push against it. That's a very important thing for us to try to do. It's difficult to get our heads around what it is that we can do with it. But let me ask you this, you know, as we were talking about some of the economic stuff at the beginning, talking about gold and other things, you know, when you look at comments from people in the past, I know Martin Luther said, if I knew that the world was going to end tomorrow, I would still plant a tree today. And in a sense, we all have to kind of take that attitude. As gloomy as this looks, we have to do what we can to work for peace, but we also have to look to see what is going to happen in terms of, you know, what is going to happen in terms of money and gold and these other things where we have to provide for ourselves and for our family. Let's talk a little bit about the commercial real estate thing, because you've been way out in front on that. And now that is becoming a very repetitive theme throughout all the financial and mainstream media, what is happening with commercial real estate. And of course, they haven't really talked about the knock-on effects of what's going to happen with the banking industry that you've talked about, the small banks. We've talked about that in the past. But then there's some other issues as well, and that is, what is it going to do to the cities and to the people that are living in them in terms of the fact that these big commercial real estate properties were a huge part of the tax base of these big cities? What's that knock-on effect going to look like?
It's going to create the worst banking crisis in written history. Hmm. It's going to bring down everything. Here, the numbers, the data. Place called Portland, Oregon. Office vacancy rate, 29%. Hmm. Before COVID, Portland was a hopping, hot town. People having a great time. Dead. New York City. Again, I'm a guy born in the Bronx, and I'm a New Yorker. I talk to young people. The women are afraid to go out at night. The city's closing up at 12 o'clock at night. We used to go out at 1 o'clock in the morning, by the way, back in the day. Where I am, and you've been up here in Kingston, yet young people are flooding up here, getting out of the city. Mm. It's a whole different vibe, filled with homeless, migrants, and people out of their mind. You want to take the subway? It's a night in Calcutta.
Yeah.
So going back to the office building bust, according to the data, the office vacancy rate, now these are empty buildings. The office vacancy rate of the top cities in America is at 20%. Delinquencies on taxes now in New York City have it at an all-time high. They're not paying their taxes. They're running out of money.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is going to bring down the cities because they're not getting the tax money from the buildings.
That's right.
This crisis is going to be, again, these buildings, by the way, we're going to turn them into houses. No, you're not. The buildings built in the last 50 years are non-convertible. Again, according to the data, they're just big, empty glass, steel structures. They don't have rooms and, you know, it's a whole different thing. You can't turn them into it. It costs more to turn them into it than to knock them down and rebuild them. So this is going to bring down the banks. And you ready for this? Here, this is from the Wall Street Journal. 2 days ago, Fund giants eyed over bank stakes. See, that, what does this mean? Banking regulators are scrutinizing whether index fund giants BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street are sticking to passive roles when it comes to their investments in U.S. banks. You ready? Mm-hmm. These three firms manage more than $23 trillion in total, with much of its funds that passively mimic indexes such as the S&P 500. BlackRock and Vanguard each, you ready, hold more than 10% of the shares of many banks. Two companies own 10%. You got it?
Wow. Yeah.
When this thing goes down, the bigs are going to, the whole thing is a scam.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
Wow.
And it's not going to be able to be kept up. It's one after another. when you look at the data here, this time last year, Silicon Valley had bust, bank had gone bust. Then First Republic and Signature. Oh my God, the stock markets went into a frenzy. Gold prices went, that was three banks?
Yeah.
The latest data is showing 282 banks are in danger of collapse.
Wow.
Because of the commercial real estate loans.
100 times more.
They're finest information. They're hardly reporting it, and no one is saying the consequences of what's going to happen. And by the way, I suggest for everyone that wants to find out real good information about the criminality of the banking system, you go to Wall Street on Parade. Mm-hmm. Wall Street on Parade by Pam and Russ Martins. What they're putting out, no one is. Mm-hmm. No one is. Mm-hmm. They about the criminality of the J.P. Morgan Chase gang. Five felonies. Convicted of five felonies.
Yeah.
They're deep into this.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm looking at one of the reasons I wanted to bring up the consequences for cities. A recent Zero Hedge article, they went through New York, Pittsburgh, Portland, and L.A. What you were saying about Portland, you know, being the worst, absolutely right. As they said, the highest office vacancy rate in the nation at 30% or more. And yep. Pittsburgh, they said 27%, if you include the subleases. In New York, it's rapidly grown. They said since COVID, the vacancies in general have grown by 20%. But in Manhattan, as they point out, 70% growth there. And in L.A., they said developers are going to build this brand new skyscraper, but instead, this was so bad, it's going to be a 61-story office building. They said, no, we can't do that. Instead, they tore down what they'd already built, turned it into a parking lot, and put EV chargers out there. And you know, this for all people, this is their future. This is their fallback position, these electric vehicles and chargers and things like that. They point out, as you were saying, they said it's just not practical to convert these things to anything else. Nope. And so that's one of the reasons why they tore it down and turned it into a parking lot with EV chargers on it.
And the office vacancy rate, by the way, in New York City is 23%. Vacant.
Yeah.
Wow. Then you look at the office occupancy rate. That means how many people going back to work that are occupying the buildings.
Yeah.
According to Castle Systems with a K, 51%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, all the businesses that depended on commuters, they're going out of business too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And what the COVID war did, it destroyed small businesses to begin with, because hey, Walmart, you could stay open, but hey, you mom and pops, you got to close down.
Yeah, I know.
All the bigs could stay open, but you got to close down. So the COVID destroyed it. This is going to destroy it even worse. I'm telling you, David, we are in a crisis the likes of which we've never seen, and the smart people know it. That's why you're seeing gold prices go up. Oh, again, I used to say the 20th century was the American century, but the 21st century will be the Chinese century, because the business of America has been war and the business of China has been business. Mm-hmm. That was until China launched the COVID war in January 2020, you know, the Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the rat.
Mm-hmm.
They closed down the country for 3 years with zero COVID policy. China's economy boomed when the murderous little lying piece of crap Bill Clinton brought him into the World Trade Organization. Officially became in on 2 weeks after 9/11, so nobody paid any attention to that. Their GDP skyrocketed. With every booming economy, they're overbuilt. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The economy was overbuilt in the real estate sector, which, by the way, in China accounts for almost 30% of their gross domestic product.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, American manufacturing, 11%. That's all we have.
Wow.
70% is consumer. Going back to China, it was overbuilt. It was going to have bust. You always have a downturn. But the COVID war made a bad situation worse. Destroyed the lives and livelihoods of hundreds of millions of people. Now let's go back to gold. The people in China know how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Retail sales of gold so far this year in China increased by 24%.
Oh, wow.
So the people that know what's going on are buying gold, as are the central banks.
Mm-hmm.
They know how bad this is. The whole thing was artificially propped up with money backed by nothing and printed on nothing. We are, our debt is increasing $1 trillion every 100 days.
Yes.
We're almost at $35 trillion in debt.
Yeah, yeah, they're working to take the whole system down. I mean, what are you talking about? I remember when you're talking about, well, Walmart can stay open, but the mom and pops can't. And that happened to us when we had a small business. We had mom and pop video stores, and we had a storm come through, and we never closed for any reason whatsoever. The only time that we closed was when power was gone for about 4 days after a hurricane came through. Nobody could watch anything anyway, so we didn't open. But we had one of our six stores had, in that neighborhood, they had power. So we went back in and we opened that up. And then we had the cops come in the afternoon and tell us that we had to close down. And so, well, Walmart across the street has opened up. Well, you have to close down because they're coming here. I said, well, if they're coming to Walmart, and, you know, they're not supposed, you don't want people traveling, but you're going to let them go to Walmart, but not to us. That experience that we had, that made me so outraged when I saw Trump doing that in 2020, because I'd lived that experience already. And I know exactly how these people are. The utter contempt that they have for us, whether it is with war or economic warfare, is just amazing. And even though you know it, when you experience it, it's a whole nother thing. It truly is amazing.
Yeah, people call them bureaucrats. I call them bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's who the people are. The people that are the bureaucrats, they can't get a job in the real world. They suck into the political system, and they become the most arrogant people out there.
That's right. Well, you know, I've said many times for people, you can kind of forget about what's going on in Washington. You're not going to be able to really do too much about that. You look at these big cities, and it's going to get really, really bad when they start losing this money. As they're talking about in this article, New York City's got a shortfall already of $1.1 billion from these vacant offices. In Boston, these office buildings are 22% of their revenue. Most of that is going away. So what are they going to do? They're going to get really nasty trying to beat the dead horses that are out there, the middle class and the Main Street businesses and everybody else. They're going to be coming after them big time, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're going to raise, again, the bigs don't pay taxes. They're going to keep stealing more of our money.
Yeah.
Look That's what right. happened now in New York. If you drive down there, you got to pay $15 if you go, if you're driving and you go below 60th Street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so stupid. So stupid. They made all these bicycle lanes in the city. What are you kidding me? What are you kidding me? You was bumper to bumper traffic before.
Yeah.
You know, bicycle lanes in a city like this, or bus lanes. I mean, you got imbeciles. Again, you keep saying they're planning it. They're not planning it. These are morons. They don't have no plans. Look at the little clown that was running it before, this other moron, this other arrogant guy Adams in there now. Yeah, Warren Wilhelm Jr. No, I'm changing my name to de Blasio to get the Italian-American vote. Look at that little clown that destroyed the city.
Yeah.
Well, one after another, Bloomberg, one arrogant, oh, I forgot Giuliani.
Yeah.
Look at the clowns.
Yeah.
It's a clown show for all to see who are in death. Dumb and blind.
That's right. Yeah, they think it isn't going to affect them. You know, you mentioned Giuliani. Yeah, he wrote all of this RICO statute stuff, which is a violation of due process. He wrote all that stuff to as part of his career, and now he's being charged with that. you gotta love the irony and the payback of this kind of stuff. These people who think they're going to get away with these crimes forever, and eventually it comes back and grabs them big time. But it's, when we look at what's happening with that, I mean, people who are living in the cities, as you point out, everybody's fleeing New York City getting out in New York State or into other states. Because it's going to really, really get bad in the cities. And where are all of the squatters going? You know, that's what I call, they call them newcomers, the illegal aliens. They want to call them newcomers. I call them squatters because I think that's a better description of what's going on. And most of them want to go to New York when they interview them at the border.
No, it's heartbreaking. And by the way, here's the other part on this so-called immigration, why they're letting them all come in. You mentioned Walmarts. Go to any of these stores. I never go in Walmarts. I can't stand it. Again, I grew up at a time when department stores were beautiful, you know, yeah. The Altmans and these Lord and Taylor, you know, gorgeous places. And now they're factories you're walking into. Anyway, you go into any of these places, whether it's Target, Marshall's, Home Depot, Lowe's, help wanted, help wanted, help wanted, help wanted. They want cheap labor. Mm-hmm. That's why they're bringing in the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can't get enough cheap labor.
Yeah.
I call this plantation workers of Slavelandia. This is better than the old plantation system because back then you had to house them and feed them.
That's right.
Now you just give them enough money. And get the hell out of here. Come back tomorrow. Yeah. Hey, get out of here. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's why they let, and by the way, I'm not making this up. Germany, they're boasting that they have a labor shortage, and by letting these migrants come in, it's helping their labor shortage. They don't have a labor shortage up there.
Yeah.
Or out there or over there.
Yeah.
They want cheap labor. The big corporations only want cheap labor so the billionaires can get richer. End the story.
Yeah. Yeah, as Amazon with their experience, they said, well, we're going to have artificial intelligence and it's going to know what you're putting in your cart. We've got our stores. Just walk out was the thing they were saying. Well, it turns out that they've got 1,000 Indians who are watching people shop, totaling this stuff. They say it's artificial intelligence, but it's 1,000 Indians across the other side of the world that they're paying nothing to sit there and watch Americans shop and total it up and then pretend that it's artificial intelligence. You know, I mean, it truly is amazing what these people are doing, isn't it? But of course, it's not going to end with that. They're you know, whether they use AI or they use people living on the other side of the world, they're not going to be using Americans. And so all this stuff that they're doing in terms of Newsom and raising the minimum wage. Already you see people being laid off. You see the prices going up. What do you think? My take on it is the real thing that is happening, of course, he's got a restaurant that he's part owner with, co-owner with, and they're not, they don't have to raise the price of their minimum wage. I'm looking at this, and since they're focusing on chains, I'm thinking that they want to put more pressure on the chains that have already been looking at replacing a lot of workers with automated robotic stuff in the fast food assembly line, you know, food type stuff. And maybe that's what he's really trying to do. He's really trying to pay off Silicon Valley and get the ball rolling on that type of thing. What do you think?
Like you said, jerk, arrogant little thing.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the migrants, look at Tyson bragging that they had just hired all these migrants, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's one of my books. This is an international bestseller, Trends 2000. I'm going back to immigration. You were talking about the Indians and people from India doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
The internet revolution began around 1994. They needed a lot of labor as this internet revolution is expanding. They invented a thing called H-1B visas. I wrote about this in detail.
Right. Yeah.
To bring in all the cheap labor because the Silicon Valley didn't want to pay the Americans the money.
Yeah.
It was all about cheap labor. I'm Vietnam War era prime draft meat. That's when they started changing the immigration laws under LBJ, LB Jerk over there, off over there in Texas. That's when they started changing the immigration laws because they're drafting all of the young men.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed cheap labor. You look at how America's income declined from like 1970 down as all the more cheap labor is coming in. It's a supply and demand issue. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. And they're doing it again. They don't want to pay us anything. They want as much cheap labor as they could bring in.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And of course, they want friction with people groups. I think that's another aspect. By ramping it up this quickly, I think they want friction. They know that there's going to be a lot of economic unrest, and they want us fighting each other because we're different ethnic groups and languages and all the rest. They want us fighting each other rather than coming after them. I think that's an aspect of it too, don't you?
I don't know. Again, they don't think ahead. You know, I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. I told you that.
Yeah.
These are the dumbest. These are the people I hated in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yep.
They're a bunch of little jerks. They're little nobodies.
Yeah.
I mean, look at them. Who do you look up to? I'll play Chucky Schumer.
Look over your glass.
I mean, look at the little jerks. They don't have the brains to look ahead. I'm telling you, all they think about is how can I get more power and how can I get more money? That's all they're concerned about.
Yeah.
They could give a damn about you.
Yeah, I agree.
It's power and money.
Yeah. But I think there are some people behind them that are really running the show.
Well, the people behind them are the ones I just mentioned. The people I mentioned are the Black Rocks,
mm-hmm.
the Vanguards, the State Streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're the ones that the Prince of Peace drove out of the temple.
That's right.
That's who's in charge.
That's right.
Oh, and he became violent. He became violent because he knew what they were doing to the people. And then 3 days later, he's on the cross.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they may have a reckoning coming, from what's going to happen with this collapse of the commercial real estate. As they say, be careful what you want because you just might get it. They might be getting a payback real good and hard. Always great talking to you, Gerald. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, trendsjournal.com. You can save 10% off with the code NIGHT. And it's all, Gerald has been light years ahead of everybody with what is happening with commercial real estate, gold, and other things. I just hope you're wrong about this war stuff. But thank you for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you for all you do. I appreciate being on.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, the David Knight Show, you can listen to with your ears. You can even watch it by using your eyes. In fact, if you can hear me, that means you're listening to the David Knight Show right now. Yeah, good job. And you want to know something else? You can find all the links to everywhere to watch or listen to the show at thedavidknightshow.com. That's a website.